And since 2010, I'm Microsoft MVP for Data Platform. I'm participating in community development in Ukraine, and I really love to be a part of the SQL community worldwide. Okay, that was the most boring part of the presentation. Let's go to the most interesting part. Let's go to the agenda, and before agenda, okay, let me show you quickly the simple example of the deadlock. Yeah, this is called classic deadlock. There are two tables, users and statuses, and all the demos which I will show today will be done on this database, Twitter or similar database. There are two tables, users and statuses, users who use Twitter and statuses what they are posting there. In users, we have number of columns like name, ID, password, and so on. And we have several keys, primary key, which is clustered index, and unique key on username, which is non-clustered index. Okay, on statuses, we have something similar. We have created date, ID, text, and so on. And we have user ID here. And as you can guess, this is a foreign key with index, non-clustered index on it, and primary key on ID. That's all you should know about database schema. It's very simple. And in the first demo, this is a transaction. And first, operation update user. Second, update some status. And second, operation update status in the same transaction, and then update user. So they will fail, yeah, one of them. If I will run this together, after some period of time, some small period of time, there will be a deadlock. Yeah, let me stop this query and roll back transaction. Deadlock is here. Ah. Okay, this is it. How we can catch information about deadlocks and how we will do this in the presentation? I will use profiler, plain old profiler, because I still hate extended events. Maybe you too, I don't know. But I use profiler and this only event, deadlock graph. It will bring a lot of information about deadlocks and enough information to fix, to defeat this deadlock. Let me run this one. Oh. Okay, and I need to rerun these queries because graph is not generated. Let me stop it once more. Okay. It's beautiful, really. Yeah. I really like when I see such kind of graphs because they are simple. And from this graph, you can see that first query, yes, update table users and hold exclusive lock on the primary key of table user, and then it updates table statuses and requests exclusive lock on the primary key of statuses. Other query do it vice versa. So it first updates statuses and hold lock on the statuses, and then try to update users and try to put update lock on the table. We have a deadlock, yeah? Resources are requested in the different order. How we can fix this deadlock? It's very simple, yes? We can just change the order of the tables and everything will be fine. Correct? So this is a small, simple example of what we will do today. But we will look at more advanced and more complex deadlock and we'll analyze why they happen. Because in this example, it's quite obvious for you, yes? How this happens. Right now, we will talk about logs, log types, log behavior, transaction isolation level. This is like a background of what we will do after that. And after that, in the second part of presentation, we will analyze a lot of deadlocks. We will catch them, analyze, and defeat that deadlocks. Okay, logs. First type of log is shard. Here on this diagram, this is a database. As you can guess, this is a table, and these are pages. Data and SQL are stored in pages. So when process need to read the data, it put shared log on the rows which he needs to read, yes? And this log called shared because other processes can also put shared log on this row and read the data simultaneously. That's fine. If someone wants to update the data and put exclusive log, he will wait. He will wait for shared logs to be released. Next type of log, exclusive. This type of log is used for modifying the data. And when it's set on the row, nobody can modify this row. This is why it's called exclusive, yes? So nobody with exclusive or with shared can't read this data. But when this data was modified, next process from the queue get access to this row and do its operations. Okay, the last one which we will talk is update. Previous example was not very correct for update or delete process because both of them use update log first. Why? When SQL Server tried to modify the data, he find all records in the table and mark each one of them with update log. Why? Because if other process want to update data and come to intention to modify this data with update log, he will wait. But if someone want to read this data and put shared log, he is allowed to do this. Yes? After that, when all rows was found, SQL Server convert that update logs to exclusive. And if there are some shared logs on the same rows, he will wait. When shared log will be released, this log will be converted to exclusive and the actual modification of data will happen right now here. Does it make sense? Okay. After that, after rows, after logs converted to exclusive, nobody can access this data. No update, no shared logs. And the last one which we will talk is intent logs. Intent logs means intention to do something. Yes? Intent shared log means intention to put shared log. And before putting shared log on the row, SQL Server puts intent shared log to the table and to the page. And only after that, SQL Server puts shared log on the row and read the actual data. This mechanism helps SQL Server to understand how many logs in the table or on the current page. And another processes may want to log table or page, and SQL Server will prevent that because there are intent logs. Okay. Next basic topic, transaction isolation level. Which transaction isolation level SQL Server use by default? Read committed, correct? Yeah. But we will start with non-default isolation level read uncommitted. You may also know it as hint no log. When you use hint no log, it means that SQL Server engine will use read uncommitted transaction isolation level for this operation. Read uncommitted says that no shared log put on the row for reading. So you can read without putting shared log. And this means that you can read uncommitted data in the table. This operation called dirty read. It may be okay for you, it may be not okay. This is your decision. But how it works? We select all data from users where city equal Kyiv. This is one row. Then second operation, try to update data and update users set city equal Kyiv, where city equal New York. And this operation put exclusive log on this row, on these rows. Second, select, if we use read uncommitted transaction isolation level, will return us three rows, yes? Because it doesn't care about exclusive logs. It doesn't need to put shared logs here for reading the data. But if first transaction will be rolled back, next subsequent select will return again one row. So this one is dirty. This is dirty read. It may be okay, it may be not, but no log is quite fast. So it's very fast for reading the data. Next transaction isolation level, read committed, which is used by default. It uses shared logs for reading the data. And that is why there is no dirty read here. So we select all rows from users where city equal Kyiv, one row, and we put shared log here. But when select is finished, shared log released immediately. Next, the same transaction, update two rows and put exclusive log there. And next select will wait for these logs because He understands that there is Kyiv, but he can't read that data. It may be changed. And after transaction committed or rolled back, this process read the data and return, in this case, one row. Does it make sense? Yeah. This is default behavior, which works quite well for a lot of scenarios. Next, non-repeatable reads. But read committed allows us to do non-repeatable reads. What does it mean? The same table, we do begin transaction and select all records from users where city equal Wroclaw. Yes? There are three records in the table. And after this select, shared records will be released. And next transaction will do some update. Yes? And update the second row. Next, select in the same transaction, return us two rows. This is non-repeatable read, because results are different. Results of the same query in the same transaction return different results. And these non-repeatable reads are not allowed in the next transaction isolation level repeatable read. Why it's not allowed here? Repeatable read tells us that shared logs are held till the end of the transaction. And we will not have this situation here. We will select all data from users where city equal Wroclaw, three rows. Second, transaction update one of the row, but it actually can't update because there are shared logs, yes? So this transaction will wait. And second, select in the first transaction, return us the same three rows. This read is repeatable and it's fine. After transaction is finished, second can do modification. That's nice, but there is still possible one more anomaly, which called phantom record. It happens in the same situation. Imagine that we have repeatable read turned on. We do some select, and shared logs are still there. But second transaction, insert new row in this table. Yes? With the same value, Wroclaw. And subsequent select in the first transaction return us four rows. And we get phantom row. And SQL Server also has transaction isolation level which prevent even this. This transaction isolation level called serializable. It put range log on the whole range. In our case, the whole range is city equal Wroclaw. Yes? We'll talk about this magic on the demos, but just remember that it uses range logs. And next, transaction can't insert data into this range. Yes? It will wait until this transaction will finish. The second select returns the same three rows. And when transaction is finished, second one can do the actual insert. That were pessimistic transaction isolation level. But SQL Server has two optimistic. Pessimistic transaction isolation level based handle concurrency based only on logs. Optimistic use also version store. And there are two optimistic concurrency levels. First is read commit snapshot, which is in the discussed term, it's the same as read committed because it doesn't allow dirty reads, but allow non-repeatable reads and phantom records. How it works? When you select data from your table, SQL Server doesn't put shared log on the row. And this is very, very performant. But if somebody wants to update, modify the data, the previous copy of this data copied to the tempdb in the place which called version store. And this place is the most performant place for writing in SQL because there is only in this operation, in this case, nothing is written to the transaction log. So this write is very, very fast. So next, select, when select come to this exclusive log, he will not wait while it will be released, but it will go to the tempdb and get that row. So it's a very good alternative for the regular read committers, because you don't have shared logs on reads and you don't need to wait to get some data. Okay, and the last one, snapshot. Snapshot is similar to serializable. It doesn't allow any kind of, it doesn't allow phantom records, non-repeatable reads, and dirty reads. But the way how it handles that may be not very convenient, yes? I never use snapshot, and I'm not sure that I will use it. Okay, how it works. Imagine that first transaction modifies some data in the table, yes, and copy this old version to the tempdb. Second transaction want to modify the same data. And it can, actually it can read this data, yes? But when first transaction will be committed, second transaction will not be allowed to commit. And the internal process conflict update conflict detection will just kill the second transaction. It will not be committed anyway. And you need to handle this as a deadlock. This transaction is rolled back and you need to reapply it from your application. So that's all for transaction isolation level, and now we are going to the real deadlock stuff. Is everything clear? Yeah? Okay. Are you ready for deadlocks? Okay, nice. Let me close this. So, I found that my presentation and my demos has a lot of spoilers in the name of this deadlock, so I renamed that deadlock scripts to not spoil the sense of the script. The first one, which called common one, this is the most common deadlock which you can see in your database. Okay, first query, just do several updates, and this is not a transaction. Each update is a separate transaction, so only one of them will be involved in the deadlock graph. Why I do two of them? Because SQL Server is quite clever and he will not do this update each time if I will update something from the same method. Yes. So this is why I did the same rule two times. Second query will do this. Select ID name and location from users for some pattern. Yes. Okay. Let me run both queries. And I use here isolation level recommend. That's our first one and the second one. So very soon we will get this message that deadlock happened. And let's move to the deadlock graph. Here it is. It's also quite clear and nice. And what we can see here. First query, this is update. Update owns exclusive log on primary key users and requests exclusive log for the non-cluster index username. At the same time, second query selects hold shared log on the non-cluster index on username and request shared log on the primary key of the user. Does it make sense? Is it obvious why the log happened here? Yes. For somebody, yes. For somebody, no. Okay. Let's look further. So this is a nice way to start analyzing the deadlock reasons. Yes. Then we should look to the execution plan and to some more deep sources. Let's look at the execution plan because the sense of this deadlock is here. The reason of this deadlock is here. Let's look at this one. Select ID name location from users. If we will build the execution plan, we will see this picture. First, the SQL Server tried to find the data on this predicate. And it's
it's appeared, it will use this one after index on the username. Yes? After that, SQL Server needs to select all these fields. And which of them are included in this index by default? If an index just username. It's obvious that the key of the index is included there, name, yes? And also cluster, cluster key also included in non-cluster index. So ID and name is okay, but location is not in this index, and SQL Server need to get it from the table. So that is why he do this lookup and put shard lock on the cluster index, yes? This is shard lock on the non-cluster index, this is shard lock on the cluster index. Unfortunately, we don't see this information in query plans and in other sources, but we need to understand how logs works, and that anyway, SQL Server will try to do this when he needs to get some data. Probably it will put the log on the resource. Okay, and at the same time, update do this operation vice versa. If we look at the execution plan and to this operation cluster index update, we will see that first the SQL Server update cluster index, and then he updates non-cluster index. That is why we get that log. Yes? This operation update cluster index at the same time. Second operation, filters data, find data in non-cluster index. Yes? After that, this query try to update non-cluster index, then second query try to do a lookup to cluster index.
For rollback select, yes, but for update he will need to do some stuff. Okay, how we can fix this deadlock? Add location to the index, make it included in the index, yes. Just remove location from this query and we will have a very clean execution plan, and we will not care about these deadlocks anyway. We can use read uncommitted, so we will not put shared logs on this read and so on and so on, yes? But my key point here is that to defeat the deadlock, we should completely understand why it was happened, yes? And when we completely understand why it was happened, we can fix it. Probably we can easily fix it, yes? And without understanding of why it was happened, it will be a very bad choice to start optimizing or doing some stuff, yes? And this is the key point of this session, to analyze deadlocks and find the real reason of them. Okay, are you ready for the next deadlocks? Yeah? Let's go. Let's close this one and go to the next one. This deadlock calls graph does not make sense. This also happens. So what we do here, we begin transaction, and in this transaction we initialize some variable. Yes, initialize it from the table. Get some data and put it in the variable. And then use this variable to update this table. Yes, we get some data, then we do some operations, and then we update this table. Have you ever seen such code in your databases? Probably yes, yeah? So I will run this query and I will run second query, which is completely the same. It works with same values, like calling the storage procedure. Okay, let me run both queries. And shortly one of them will fail. Let me stop this one and roll back transaction. Let's go to the graph. So what we see here, we know that both queries are same. So first one, and both queries work with the same value, with the same key, with the same row in the table, yes? So first query, hold update log on the primary key user and request update log on the primary key users. Does it make sense? Probably not, yes? Why he requests update on the same key if he already hold the update lock on the same key? Yes. Second query is more convenient because it owns update lock and request exclusive lock. And request exclusive lock on this key. Yes, this is the update lock conversion which I showed you in the presentation. And there is a rule here. If a graph does not make sense to you, try to save it to XML and open it in the XML editor. It will provide much more useful information. So I'm saving it to the XML and we'll open it using some Notepad++. Let me find it. Documents, here is it. Okay. The XML graph divides on two sections. First one is process list, which describe our processes, which deadlock each other. And second is resource list, which shows on which resources they are competing. Yes, let's look at the process list. Queries will be the same. Both of them has different process ID. Also, we can find here information on which key is locked. And look at this value. What does it mean? We will turn back to it in the next demo, but now I want to shortly describe what is it. For each index in your table, SQL Server creates some hidden field which is stored in the data page, and this is a hash of this key. This hash is used for locking. There is internal hash table in which SQL Server put, for example, I want to lock some key, yes? SQL Server will get this hash from the index, yes, and put it to the hash table. When another process comes and want to lock this key too, SQL Server will quickly check on the hash table that this key exists or not exists there. And this is how it works. So each record on your table contain this hidden key, which is used to check data, to check if lock exists in the hash table. This is how SQL Server check that. And as you can guess, if this is unique for each key, using this information, we can easily find which keys, which rows in your table was involved in the deadlock. This is useful information. One more useful information is here. Is here at the end of the graph. Here is it. Isolation level. Repeatable read. So it's quite obvious that isolation level, the deadlock occurrence depends on isolation level, yes? Because the same situation will work or will not on different isolation level. Currently, we use repeatable read. And you remember that in repeatable read, shared locks are held to the end of the transaction. And we use transaction, explicit transaction here. So let's look at the resources section. And now our graph and our deadlock start making sense, yes? First process really holds shared lock on the table and try to convert shared lock to the update lock. And it can't do this because there is already another process which holds exclusive lock on this row. Yes, actually not exclusive. Another process works converting to exclusive. Another process hold update lock and want to convert it to exclusive. Yes. So this process can't convert lock to exclusive because there are shared lock on the same key, but by different process. And this process, first process, can't convert shared to update, because there is already update lock on the same key, but by different process. That is why we get deadlock here. Does it make sense? Sure. How we can fix this deadlock? Update on update on the SELAC? Yes, sure. We can add hint update log here, so we will not get this condition. We can remove transaction and so on. So this is the reason why we get this deadlock. If we get the reason, we can fix it. That's true. Okay. Let's go to other deadlocks. This one is my favorite. Let me show the data. I will use Twitter Lite database, which is quite smaller. And actually, I love to play with my demos, and particularly before this presentation, I have broke this demo. Yes? So I have done some database recovery and returned old values. Okay. Maybe something will be wrong, some names will be wrong, and something else, but please don't care. Look at the demo. So let's look. In this database, we have several people, very famous people, like Paul Randall, Kimberly Tripp, Aaron Bertrand. And you know that Paul Randall and Kimberly Tripp works in SQL Skills, and Aaron and Kevin works in SQL Sentry, yes? This is the key information which you should know before this demo. Let's go to the demo. So, first query. I will use transaction isolation level serializable here. But first query, delete all statuses of users who worked in company SQL Sentry. And then delete all users from database where company equals SQL Sentry. Okay? So the key point here is that we work only with entities within users and statuses tables of related to company SQL Sentry. Yeah? At the second demo, we update users and change company name from SQL Skills with whitespace to SQL Skills without whitespace. And then we select all statuses of these users. Yes? And key point here that all what we do in this demo are related to entities related to company SQL Skills. So these are two separate data sets, yes? But anyway, the deadlock will happen here. Let's wait for some moment. Let me stop operation and rollback transaction. What the heck? Why it happened? How it's possible? The key point here is this. Transaction isolation level serializable. You remember that serializable use range locks for accessing the records. And here is some black magic of this serializable. Let's look at the execution plan. Not execution plan, but to the deadlock graph. You will see that, for example, first query, yes, Owen's exclusive lock on the user's company index and try to put the range shared lock to the primary key statuses. But actually, this will not make a lot of sense, and I encourage you to go deeper in this case and understand how this is it possible with serializable. So we will look at the logs, how many logs are put on the table when we use serializable. Let me start the transaction, and I will do just this update. I will just change company name from SQL Skills with whitespace to SQL Skills without whitespace. You see, two rows affected. Yeah? Okay. Let's check the log information. I will get only range logs. So just to filter the information. Let me do this. What do you see here? There are three logs on this table. And this is the key point of this issue. Let's look here. So we have two range XX logs, and this is these are definitely those records which we have modified, yes? But we have additional range shard update log, yes? And if the these hashes we can't check because they are changed, and in the table there are original hashes, yes? But we can definitely check this one because it doesn't changed, yes? And this is 71A. This is definitely this row, Kevin Klein. So why this happened? Who can tell me this?
On the same page?
No, it doesn't matter. Let me do one more change to this script. Or no, okay. No. Do you remember that actually previously SQL skills was with white space, yes? So it should be before SQL entry in this list. This is what I wanted, and a lot of things which I wanted to change in this demo, but okay. I will tell you this. Just tell you this. When you use serializable to prevent other processes to insert new value in this range, yes? For example, insert new value with company SQL skills. SQL Server block these rows and one more row, which is this one. Yeah? And this is really black magic because you don't expect this by default. And if situation happens, so several queries will use serializable and will compete in your database by these rows which are not used in the query, you will get this deadlock. We had a lot of interesting finding during defeating this deadlock, and actually in our case, this behavior was even not intended, so we don't ever use serializable, yes? But it used by default with several mechanisms inside SQL Server. And how many of you use integration services? A lot of you, yeah? Integration services package by default do all operation in your database with transaction isolation level serializable, yeah, which is not okay. For us, it was a case of a lot of deadlocks. A lot of unexpected deadlocks, which we fight for quite a long time, yes. And this is the key point of understanding why this happens. That serializable block not only rows which you want, yes, but a bit more. But anyway, it's better than blocking whole pages for such operations. So this is a compromise which we take when we use serializable, and be aware of this, of its black magic. Okay, let's go to another case, even more exciting than previous one, yeah? Because it also make me crazy for some period of time. Okay, this query use transaction, and okay, here let me put, I will completely emulate the environment where it was happened. So there is read committee snapshot transaction isolation level. Yes? It's also very good because you don't need to specify it explicitly. If, for example, if I set it like isolation level read committed, if my database is ready for that, if I execute this instruction and alter database, read committed in this case means read committed snapshot. Oh, let me execute it once more. Okay. Oh, what is that? Oh, I'm in another database. Okay. So, even if I set read committed explicitly, this means read committed snapshot. And it's very useful, so you don't change anything. You just do this magic option. You alter database version store created in tempdb, and you start using read committed snapshot immediately instead of read committed. And what can you tell me about read committed snapshot? It doesn't use shared logs for reading the data, yes? So that is why it's very, very fast. Okay, what we do here? We update users again, just to put log on this row, and then insert some value into the statuses table. Next query, without transaction, just insert new value in the statuses table. Just insert new status. Okay, let's run both queries, and let's look what happens. Okay, deadlock failed. Let me roll back this one. Let's check that it was deadlock. Yes, it's fine. Okay, let's look at the deadlock graph. What's interesting here? Give me 3 minutes more. What's interesting here? What is this? Shared log, yes. But why? If we don't use shared logs. It's very, very interesting case, which particularly for me, this means a lot of deadlocks, which we don't want, actually. Yeah? This is insert query. And you see that it holds exclusive log on statuses table, which is OK, because it insert new row. But it requests shared log on the users table. What does it mean? How it could happen? What is this? Foreign key, correct. And if we will look at the query plan of this insert, we can find interesting thing. And so this is clustered index insert, and this is clustered index seek. No shared logs on read means just selecting the data. But if SQL Server need to provide consistency in one operation like update, insert, delete, and for this it need to make a lookup to another table, it will put shared log anyway, in any case and in any isolation level, because this is just consistency of basic structures. That is why we see shared log here. So what is the, how we can fix this deadlock? Drop the foreign key, yes. Very bad, but very effective operation. We can drop foreign key, but I encourage you try not to do this. This is quite big hammer for avoiding this deadlock. You can try to do another things, yes? For example, you can try to log these users with update log before this insert, or do some other stuff. But anyway, when you understand this, you can fix this. Yes? And now you know that SQL Server put shared logs or whatever it wants if it needs. Yes? So, this means that some deadlocks will be quite complex to analyze and understand, but that's okay. Okay, and the last one, which I called 2 years old deadlock. Why? I have defeated this deadlock about 2 years ago, and during these 2 years, this is just an exclusive deadlock, because I have never shown it before. For the last 2 years, I have 2 or 3 times tried to create this demo, which shows it in a very convenient way, yeah? And actually, I think that I found, and I hope you will understand everything that will happen right now. It was very hard to find this deadlock. It was very, very unusual for me. Okay, how it happens? Here we have only 2 inserts. One insert in table statuses, and second insert in the table statuses. No transaction, no other operation or logs on another tables. Just 2 inserts. So we couldn't see previous deadlock here, yes? Because no operation is done with users table. But anyway, the lock is happened. And oh, one more. I will plug off my cord because I use power saving mode and my processor starts working slowly when I take it off, and the lock will happen. Yes? If I will plug it on, it will not happen because it will be quite quick and it will miss this window when it can happen. Okay, let's wait for a few seconds. Okay, that lock happened. Let me plug it on. That's very exciting, isn't it? Okay, let me roll back this transaction. The lock is here. And this is just inserted to the table statuses, yes? Everything is clear. Let's look at the deadlock graph. So first insert owns update lock on the table terms, yes, index on term, and request update mode on the same table. Yeah? But this is probably different keys. Second process, do it vice versa. He requests this key, and then requests this key. But what the heck is this? I don't touch table terms. How it happens? Come on, you know that. If you see different tables in the deadlock graph, first of all, what you should check, triggers on the tables. Because this is really okay. I try to not tell bad words, but my good friend say that if somebody writes trigger or cursor somewhere very very far from, a small puppy is dying. So try not to do this. Save the puppies. Okay, let's look at the table. This is database Twitter 2, and there are table terms. There is table terms. Let me check all the data from here. This is just full text index. So this is really case when we developed a full text search engine, our own full text search engine. We did this stuff. And there is a trigger on the table statuses, which parse the string which came, in our case is status, yes, and insert it into the table terms. In table terms, we have index on this term field, and this index ignores, it's unique, but it ignores duplicate. So if you will insert duplicate record, it will put the lock on this row, and just, your transaction will not fail, yes? And it will just not change, and don't change anything. This is how it works. But what's happened here? We just parse and insert data into the value, into the table. If we will look at the queries, yes, what we see here? Our string starts from word URL, yes? Then we have some test data just to increase this interval and make it execute longer. And the last word is Twitter. In the second query, Twitter is in the beginning, and as you may guess, URL is at the end. Yeah, and this is real case. Yeah, it was fixed by ordering the table and insert data in the same order. So it was fine, but we have long nights troubleshooting this deadlock. It was really, really hard. Okay. So now I think you are prepared for a lot of deadlocks and a lot of situations. And let me do some quick summary and share with you some three rules which I follow right now and which I learned from my experience fighting with deadlocks. First of them, if deadlock is possible, it will occur. Even if there is very, very small window, yeah, and there will be two users who work with systems, they will do this deadlock. So you should be ready for that. Deadlock should be analyzed and you should understand the reason of the deadlock. After that, you are going to fix it. Before understanding the reason, it's very dangerous to fix the deadlocks, trying to fix. At least it will be just wasting of your time. So I encourage you to invest time to investigate the reason of the deadlock. And the third rule is there is no unsolvable deadlocks. Yeah, but there can be solutions which can suit you well, like dropping foreign keys. Yes? Sometimes it's a compromise between something. How to avoid deadlocks? First, try to create a database which will not allow that. I'm kidding you. It's impossible. Okay. Modify tables, but we can do something to alleviate this effect. Yes? We can modify tables in the same order. We can choose appropriate transaction isolation level and try to avoid using serializable. Keep transaction as small as possible. So if your transaction long, there is bigger chance to get a deadlock with something else. And the last one, which I really love, if it's possible, try to use stress testing for your application, because deadlocks occurred in your application and your application logic. If you will create some small stress test which touch several features of your application and run this workload simultaneously, you may catch a lot of deadlocks on the pre-production stage. And this is much better than receiving letters from the customer, yes, about the issues with deadlocks. Okay, let's say thank you for our sponsors again, and thank you very much.